Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, and you?
Not too bad. A couple of things here, Mr. Johnson. You see, this is being attracted to fish. It is also not only attracted to fish, but attracted to our tourism product. And you know what is another thing that is also attracted to the reef? We don't spend much time talking about. I don't know. Well, we don't like to talk about these things. We talk about these things when one party is in power, but when the other party is in power, it seems to diverge, although I have no interest in them. It seems to be okay.
Which is?
Taking these serious water and dumping out the sea, which is destroying the reefs on the south coast. Now, we don't spend that time talking about this, you know.
Sir, that is nonsense. That's absolute nonsense. Going back to the days of Canon Andrew Hatch, the question of putting that pipe off of Hilton and pumping effluent into the sea has come up over and over and over and over on this program. How long Andrew Hatch has not been on this program, sir?
I can't tell you. Can't
there you go. And it has been raised over and over and over. So don't say it don't talk about it certain times. It has always been talked about. As a matter of fact, it was said that it was going to cost, I can't remember the actual figure in millions, but millions, to turn the pipe around, bring it back in, and pump that same effluent into the tanks sitting down next to Hilton. They used to belong to Mobil to be used for irrigation. I remember that being said to sir, and it never happened because of quote-unquote the cost. So it has come up over and over and over. It's just that nothing has been done.
So wait, which is more important, the cost of that or the cost of...
So you need to ask the people who say it was too expensive. Don't ask me. I can't answer that question for you.
Yeah. The other thing is that allocation of funds. You know that if you were given $50 million for the hospital, something would pop up, you could take that $50 million and put it on something else.
Provided it is done via the law, sir. You go to Parliament, you take it out of the consolidated fund, you put it to a vote, and you say, yes, this is what we're going to do with it, and you do it.
So what are you going to charge the person for?
I do. You can't ask me that neither, because I ain't going to charge that person for doing that.
So therefore, see, and what the law is not the law written by man.
So I just said the law is written by lawyers and used by lawyers so that they can make a living. You hear when I say so?
Right. So you are referring to a law which is written by all righteous men, right?
So I don't know whether man righteous or not. You ask me to pass a judgment, I'm not.
Oh, okay. We can agree to disagree on that one.
I'm not disagreeing if you want to.
Okay. The other thing, Mr. Johnson, is that all these, when the Democratic Labor Party was in office, this series was buying day by day. The ministries are to use the too big. What are they right now? Have they got smaller?
You didn't think it was fine to have the ministries before?
Pardon me?
You didn't think it was fine to have the ministries before?
So let
me tell you what my problem is, right? My problem, sir, is that you see things from one side and you keep putting your side, and the questions you ask me, I don't see the need to answer them because you will continue to see it your way. As you say, we'll agree to disagree.
But you
and when I and when I say things to you, people tell me I was harangue you and harassing you, and I don't respect you. So I back off.
I don't say so. I said that you have your opinion.
There you go. And you have yours, that's it.
And I am not changing my opinion.
Sir, I ain't changing mine neither. The difference is, that when you raise issues, that you know you're raising it because you're trying to make a political point. It don't make sense asking me a question. It doesn't. So look, let me tell you, you know what credibility is? Credibility is when you say something and what you say, you not only mean it, but that people who listen to you believe that you mean it. Okay? So let me tell you why you have shattered your credibility on more than one occasion. You came to this program and said that you were the leader of a party known as the RPB. The Reformation Party of Barbados. You told Peter Wickham that. He asked you about RPB because of the initials, and you said yes. You then came and you said you were the leader of the Greens Party of Barbados. Then it became the Anti-Immigrant Greens Party of Barbados. It became Le Fleur's. I ask you how you can have a party with a French name in a country that was totally English from the time of its colonization to the time of its independence. Then you said you had a gentleman by the name of Mr. Scantlebury, who was going out and doing polls. and that you're going to be placing candidates in specific constituencies because Colonel Bostic was going to lose the city. Cynthia Bradshaw was going to lose her constituency. Miss Motley was going to come under strain from some new lady that was being introduced who was an economist who was at university. Then she wasn't ready to run yet. Then the party wasn't a party. You went from president to general secretary. So when you do that, you destroy your credibility. And if you come back with the same things over and over, people are going to feel that you're either wasting my time or I'm wasting their time by engaging in the conversation. And that's why even when you try to make a valid point, it doesn't come across as being valid. Think about it, sir, and then change your line of attack. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning to you, sir. Still morning. I ain't talked the whole day yet.
Good morning. I
yes,
didn't know
sir.
It was on.
Yeah, you are.
I want to make a reference to the newspaper articles.
Yeah.
The first part of the article is mm-hmm. on July the 4th mm-hmm. in the editor's note of the Nation, done by Eric Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you read it. He spoke about people who go on Facebook and WhatsApp and say things, they report fake news, mm-hmm. say things that are not true, deal with hate. And he said, unfortunately, much of this agenda of hate involves politics and is driven by political operatives. He ends up by saying that he brings some examples of situations in Trinidad, which you'll be familiar with too. There was the one with the Landell Simmons and the picture. There was the one dealing with the prison officer.
Prison officer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And he ends by saying someone in Barbados needs to be a public example if this nonsense must go on.
Yeah.
No, what I want to say, because I want to refer to two articles in the Nation, and that said Wednesday Nation, an article was in it about my daughter's funeral.
You know, yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
And one of the things in that article, which I spoke to Mr. Smith about, is that I did the eulogy, and the words are not my words that the reporter said.
Okay.
It wasn't quoting, but I don't use, people know me, I talk in public. I would never refer to any of my daughters or as lovely individuals who would be sorely missed. That was the eulogy, according to the reporter. But people who attended the service know it differently.
Mm-hmm.
That I couldn't do a 10-word eulogy, even if I wanted to. Because one of the articles that came out the same day, and I try not to deal with the content while I was doing the eulogy, it because it was kind of, let me use the term, is alleged fake news as far as I'm concerned. And I should know about the content and so on. So there's two articles that I spoke to Mr. Smith about. The one on Wednesday and one that her boyfriend, Basil Hayward, dealt with. And people are calling me about questions about the little boy and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But what they could have done is that the little boy is with his father, who's my grandson. My grandson is with his father.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? He's not there. Link. So some things in this article
are incorrect.
Make it sound like the little boy ain't got nobody to look after him. My daughter leave him with his father, and he accustomed going by his father. And I know that because I have been there with her already.
And you raised this with Mr. Smith?
Hello?
And you raised it with Mr. Smith?
I spoke to Mr. Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't seem to make any more contact with him, and he's not making any more
contact with you.
And it's unfortunate for me because me and him had a good relationship in his work, even when he was at CBC. For years. For years. And he could call me if he got a problem and want somebody to fit in. And then two-twos, I am
there.
And it was an unpaid sort of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't that I was going and any money was collecting. So I figure that he should have had some of these things need
corrected.
Retract.
Yeah, correct.
And I you can't say I come to the radio first. I spoke to him. I spoke to the lady in his office. Mm-hmm. And he did not call me back. So people are calling me.
And asking you.
People read the article, the Monday one, and they ask me questions. And I then got to tell them what the situation is, because nothing in that article is mentioned of me or the little boy's father.
So I think this is unfortunate in your moment of grief that you have to be dealing with people calling you on that.
Yeah,
I really do.
I hope Eric hears. Monday, yeah. I did not refer to it in the eulogy. Yeah. I pretend that I didn't see it.
See it. Yeah.
When I did the eulogy.
Yeah.
And then when the Wednesday one came up about the funeral, I said, well, this thing is really heading in a direction.
In the wrong direction. So you see, I have to tell you, it's one of the, I think, the challenges of media today. I have pointed out to my colleagues in, you know, just general conversation that the smartphone has changed the way we get and receive messages.
You are perfectly right.
Once upon a time, you start to wait to hear it in the news, or you hear it by the standpipe, but you wait on confirmation the next day when you read the paper or you listen to the Radio Fusion. Today, if it happened 5 minutes ago, by the time you find out, 500,000 people know, because I forwarded and he forwarded and they forwarded, and whether it's right or wrong, it forwarded. And if it's on social media, it's right. And then you got to try and take it back, and I don't know how you're going to get it back. It just...
And Mr. Johnson, finally, I am not against the article.
No, I understand that. I understand. Yeah.
Because this thing happens. Yeah. We know that. They got some people that go up on social media
and create things.
Ridiculous things.
Yep. I agree.
And they're so misleading.
Yep. And they put my head over your body and all sorts of foolishness.
Right.
Yeah.
When I get things, I let them rest. Yeah. I don't like sending, passing on nothing at all.
Me too.
Because people send you fake news.
And expect you to validate it.
Right.
And because people know who you are, they'll take you as being serious.
Exactly.
So I agree. I know exactly what it is, sir. I know exactly what it is. You know, one of these days, when you get the chance, I heard you engaging David yesterday on NHC. And it's one of the things, I know, near and dear to your heart. It's one of the things I think we need to talk some more about. The agencies of government, what they did when they were set up, if they're still effective today, and if we need to look at some of them all over. Because yesterday when I heard your conversation with David, yesterday it was Peter. The day before when you were talking to David, I think you were talking about the NHC. One of the things that crossed my mind was whether there was a housing policy today, what the housing policy was, how the NHC and those types of statutory organizations fit in what's happening today, because with the IMF and the discussions about the size of government and governance, I think we need to look seriously at the agencies that were set up, what they were set up for, and how they affect what happens today. The NHC is one of them, UDC, RDC. We've changed the name of welfare about 4 or 5 times. We now have elderly care, we had family. So the question is, what are the policies that drive these parastatal agencies and how they work? And I know you have a lot that you can say on that subject. So one of these days, I would like us to have a discussion on it, if we could, even on a Brass Tack Sunday kind of setting. So hopefully we could get that done, sir. I thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
The Town and Country Planning Act is being reformed, and a stakeholders' consultation to begin the process will take place on Monday, July 16th. Prime Minister Mia Amor-Motley will address the opening session. You are invited to participate by following the discussions, which will be live streamed from 2 p.m. on the Government Information Services Facebook page. Your questions and comments will help to inform discussions, which will take place during the plenary sessions of the consultations. The Town and Country Planning Act may be downloaded from GIS's website, gisbarbados.gov.bb. So remember to log on to GIS's Facebook page on Monday, July 16th at 2 p.m. to play your part in reforming the town planning process in Barbados.
I am having some interesting WhatsApp messages. The person says, the little scenario that you said on the money is interesting, but do you know that the first line of charge was no offense because the money was not in circulation and the money was stolen from the ship's captain at sea? Two, charge stands because the offloaded cargo in Guyana and investigations lead to the arrest, charge proven, and fined in accordance with their statutes. The thing is, and I've always used that Heinz Grohl story for a couple of reasons. One, because it has always been my contention that it is how you lay the charge, where you lay the charge, and how it is prosecuted that leads to the conviction, not the act itself. As a matter of fact, there's a gentleman who was a prime minister of a certain country who said to me, when I told him the truth shall set you free, he says, not the truth that sets you free, it's the facts as outlined by a competent attorney that will set you free. And I smiled at the difference, but anyway. Brass Sax, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yeah. I heard you say this morning that political capital has to do with deceit. Yeah.
No. Peter made a comment. Let me go back up. Peter made a comment on more than one occasion that the past administration, he said, had little political capital because of the narrow margins in parliament. And I'm saying, if that is the case, then this government should have plenty of political capital because they have all the seats. But you could burn up political capital real fast.
Yeah, but I do not think, though, that...
political capital has to do with seats?
Seats, I don't think so.
What has to do with support from the public?
No.
Goodwill?
It has to do with personal political ability.
Okay. So, interesting.
I just want to make...
It's interesting. When you say... political ability. Define that for me so I could get a clear handle on what you mean.
Well, it is just like common sense.
So I might have more political capital than Graham?
Right.
Or vice versa? Well, you know, the truth is, I didn't understand it fully, I suppose, when I did it at school. That's why I didn't pay attention to it. But after I left school, I got to appreciate Shakespeare's classic Julius Caesar because of how political capital was quickly changed by Mark Antony's statement. So you may be correct. You may be correct.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. It is always good to hear you. And keep me in line. Brass Tax, good morning. I like that comment. Hello.
Dennis?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Dennis, this is Mohammed Nasser. How are you?
Brother Nasser, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
How are the family?
They're doing well.
Good. All right. A few things I want to talk to you about. I forget your time. First, before I do that, though, you remember that when I growing up, the only one paper?
Yeah.
The Advocate. Then somebody.
The Nation.
One came to the news. No one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You might remember when the Advocate was in circulation. Thank God different people own it now, and it's a different paper.
It was owned by
London. It used to push our people into one direction. And everything was to do with British.
Yeah, because it was owned by the conglomerate. They owned papers all through the Caribbean, actually. Yeah.
Correct. And then when I say that, I want every time I remember, or every time I get a chance, to talk about Harold Hoyt.
Yeah.
Because Harold Hoyt and a team of Sandy Miller, Carl Moore, and a whole set, I can't remember.
There's a gentleman whose name has gone out of circulation completely.
Al Jilt.
The late guy who did Winifred Trophies.
Trevor Clark.
Trevor Clark was a nationalist. He was labeled all sorts of things, including being radical. But Trevor Clark had a drive for enterprise that, regardless of how many times he was knocked down, failed, kicked down, kind of fella like you, he just stuck. He just stuck to what he believed in. I don't know. Trevor's name has just disappeared off the landscape completely. But I don't think names like that should be forgotten.
It'll be,
and we should not only talk about their failures, we should also talk about their successes. He had gas stations. He had Winifred trophies. He used to do T-shirts. Trevor was, anyway. Yeah.
You want me to do something? Yeah. Trevor, NASA, Curtin, Jordan, all Curtin. These Hoyts. Never fail yet. They've always been pushed over a cliff.
Yeah, so do I know it.
They've never, no NASA, never fail yet. But I want to say, I want this country to keep praying for Harold Hoyt.
Yes, sir.
Harold Hoyt would be able with a team of outstanding men. I suppose some women were there too, but the men, all you're using them days, it was, today is the women, but then it was with the men.
Mm-hmm.
And took that newspaper, The Nation, and completely transformed black people in Barbados. Because had not for The Nation, the freedom that we have today as people, we would not have, because the things that we wanted published would not have been published.
Yeah.
So I want the whole nation to continue to pray for Harold Hoyt.
So no. I totally agree with you. And I think more than ever, we need to start telling our young people that we need some more Harold Hoyts and Job Clarks and Mohammed Nassers too.
Thank you. No. Next thing.
Yeah.
We have a new government, and the country could well accept the world that I am going to do any and all and everything to make this government highly successful. I don't care what happened, unless this lady do something crazy, I am going to give her 1,000% support. I say all that because I want to say this. We have a lot of big projects going on in Barbados, and that 4% procurement seems not to be put in place yet. I know the government knew. And I'm begging the Honorable Mayor Motley to try and get that 40% procurement going in this country to uplift this country. Now, the next thing I want to put you to, I want all these young men, I want to talk about family for a minute, so I just want to rush through this little piece to you.
Mm-hmm.
I want all the young men in Barbados to know we have a new government, new regime with a female prime minister. Let us show this country who we are. Pull your pants up, dress decent, smell good, and let Mayor Motley, the Honorable Mayor Motley and her cabinet see that we are young, that they are young, intelligent men and women in this country who need work, who need help.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know that they're no bums. I'm not saying that they say they're bums. I'm saying that I want them to understand that they look like bums with the pants down. I narcissist. So I want them to pull the pants up, look like gentlemen, look clean and thing, so that when this new government we have now see our young men on the road, they know those are people that are in need of help, not bums on the streets. Right? That's one thing I want to get clear to. And I want them to look good. Pull up your pants, smell good, look good, and let that 4% procurement come into play, and we turn around this country overnight. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say something very serious. Now, I've done with all them things. They were serious too, but this one going to be serious. A lot of failures in families in this country, Mr. Johnson. I know you're going to get in this one. It's because we went, I'm guilty to one, right? A youngster coming up. You got a lot of women, but you find a sister that you love. So you decide you're going to marry the sister. Mm. No, they didn't love the rest of you, no.
I know.
But this one got you trapped.
This one had home abilities. You brought her home for Ron later on, yeah.
But this is the problem, Mr. Johnson. I know you can get in here. I made this mistake too, so I'm guilty, yeah? But the moment you decide to settle down with that woman, you know, all the outside living should stop.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what happened. That you and the woman start to have children. And those children growing up, brilliant minds, but they're growing up, and when they get in the 10s and 11s and 12 years, when they know should be concentrating heavy on school, they hear the mother saying, but your father, what this? He got a woman down
correct.
The road.
Yeah.
And you get the food, you know, they get everything they want, you know. But their mind is being affected because they can see that family ain't going. So when they should be concentrating on university and studies to get the sixth form first and go through, they're worried about the family breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
Worried about how people talking about the family.
That is correct.
And it's affecting them from going forward. So what I'm saying, and I tell from experience,
I am listening from just the same type of experience. Trust me on that one.
What we are actually doing Yeah, we got money. Yeah, we got insurance. We got a home. We got everything. We're going to a good school. But the mentally ain't right.
Yeah, that's correct.
Family is in trouble.
Sir, and it is affecting males just as much as females.
Correct.
But in different ways. But it is affecting both males and females.
Both males and females.
Yep.
So, no, I say all that because of an experience. I had one family, and I have another family.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the life of my first children versus the life of my second child.
Yeah.
Okay, my second family, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You can guarantee that my second family, my daughter, have never yet had to worry what daddy is. She couldn't hear the mother talking, but he got a woman in another house. She nothing saw. So that child went through school like nothing. She had to worry about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the children that my other children, who they're bright too, a lot of them doing very well. But if they had come along with the same confidence that mommy and daddy is all right, that they're no threat to the family. You know, there would be lawyers and doctors and engineers too.
Sir, and so, you know, I want people to understand what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Because it, as you pointed out, and as I admitted, it is an experience that I know only too well. And there are times when it is not because of the failure of any particular one party. No. It is sometimes the fact that people either A, drift apart. Sometimes they stay together. There's a gentleman who calls this program all the time that says, you must stay married all the time. You must put up with it. But as I said to him on more than one occasion, if you and a lady are in a relationship, married, living in the same house, you ain't talking to one another. You're watching one another cut eye.
Right.
When you go out, Uncle George comes in when you ain't there. When she goes out, Auntie Mary comes in and she ain't there.
Right.
It must affect the children.
Right.
It must affect the children.
Right.
And they will understand anger and silence just as much as they understand shouting and screaming and throwing pots and pans. And you're right. They will not concentrate on their work. They will not be able to be successes. And as I was asked once by a young gentleman, what do you think I would think of marriage if your example is not a good one? And I had to have a talk with him about it. And said, I don't think you would have a good example. I remember saying to a lady once, and she got annoyed with me, I said, the only impression a male would have of a female is from his mother or his female teachers.
That's right.
If he sees his mother as a domineering, beaten, bad woman, and his teacher as a shouting, screaming, bad woman, he'll feel all women like that.
Of course.
Well, where else he could get? Where else would he get the impression from? So if you keep telling a boy, you're just like your father. You ain't got accounting, nothing.
Right.
He worthless. He's a drunkard.
Yeah.
What is going to be his image of a male in the first place and himself and his father? He can't be right. And when we look at all this dysfunction and people shooting and killing one another, and we say, oh, the church, oh, the government, or the television. But we have to have understand that it's part of what we do.
The moment you settle down with a woman and start to have children, or the moment a woman settle down with a man and start to have children, if you don't give priority to those children, you are developing a failed family.
Yep.
And with what you're married for, did you not marry to have a family and a good family and a successful family?
And that's why you chose the guy because you thought he was the best thing at the time, or you chose the lady because you thought she was the right one.
I agree with you. Mr. Johnson, I said all that because the time has come in Barbados for black people to understand
family
that we are
structure.
Becoming chronic failures in this country and in the world.
Because of family structures.
Family deception. I'm not telling anybody that I write. But I know I'm wrong. That's why I know, right? So I just want to get that over.
Yep.
For all the young people now who planning to, you enjoy yourself, man. You do all caring, but you know you can't have got 2 or 3 women no more. But you children in the 10 and 12 year old preparing to go to top schools and passing exams and all kind of thing, and wherever they go, not only the mother licking them, you know, licking you, but all her friends and family. I see you too, you know?
Sir,
so, these trips going
they will be, they will hear it. Sir, I have to tell you, I support your call. I think we need to understand family structures. We need to understand respect for each other. I saw in today's newspaper, I was very happy to see it actually. I like when big people say things and again the newspaper. I ain't a big person, so it ain't matter. But, you know, I saw in the newspaper today, students' councils will help the deviant behavior and the conflict in schools. And it is coming from a big person. Sat down here and said so for years. That students' councils are a wonderful thing. They should be introduced in schools. It teaches you how to debate people, disagree, and don't go outside and pelt bottles at one another. It helps with discipline, gives positive assistance, and finally somebody big said it, so it's in the newspaper. Hallelujah. Good things are happening. Perhaps. That's all. Thank you, sir, as always. Good chatting with you. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.